We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there trying to stay awake to run the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Nick Nathaniel the Net Medina.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Fantastic.
It's good to see you.
Thank you.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email it to us at hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grant's Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more, they make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yeah, that was really good, by the way. I was looking over here like, what are we reading?
It's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding.
We don't have cue cards here. We have the Holy Spirit that brings it up out of us.
Praise the Lord.
Because he's faithful like that.
Yeah, he is.
He's really good at leading and guiding because I'm not a person that likes change. And everything's been different since we came back in January. So it's been go with the flow.
Yeah,
it's been fun.
Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're right here and you're an ever-present help in a time of need. Thank you that you hear us, you speak through us, you live through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, I love your title. I got a lot last time. We're How to Reign in Life, Part 2.
Part 2. Did not know what to call it today, so I figured we'd say Part 2. Because this is kind of what I just talk about in general.
Mm-hmm.
Is how we can be saved and kind of be in bondage. We know a lot of believers who believe, and we know they love Jesus, and I'll get to that later, but a lot of times we don't reign in life. And last time I spoke about how Romans 5:17, which is probably one out of 10 verses that I can remember by address, but how it tells us how to reign in life, that if by one man's offense death reigned through sin, then by one man's obedience, how much more can we receive the abundant grace and the gift of righteousness to reign in life in Christ Jesus? So I talked about how this abundant grace and this gift of righteousness is a key tool, the main tool, on how to reign in your life and how condemnation tries to add on to you one by one, and then you start to carry this load. And then I spoke about how my daughter had that piece of glass in her foot. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And how when I got it out, it was able to heal and move forward from it and then learn from that experience. And that's the same way God's grace works in life. And then we talked about that woman. I think we end on the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, how he said, you know, the one of you with sin, throw your first stone. And then nobody threw the stone. They started leaving from oldest to youngest. And my grandpa likes to say why they left from oldest to youngest is because the older you get, the more you realize what you've done in life. So
that's true.
They left one by one. And then he said, woman, where are your condemners? And she says, nowhere, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So in that, the enemy and a lot of religious things tried to tell us, look at this last part, go and sin no more. But we don't highlight the neither do I condemn you. This is a fuel, the projectile for you to not sin anymore in life. And if you were to tell me she went in life and didn't sin again, I mean, you'd be lying to yourself, because it says if you say you're not you don't sin, that you're calling God a liar. So But the fuel to not sin and the fuel to live righteous is that grace that God gives us. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to jump right in here, hallelujah, and follow what the Holy Spirit says. This, I think about a week ago, I am not ashamed of anything. God changed my shame for beauty, so hallelujah. I got really irritated to the point where I lost my temper. And that was the first time I lost my temper in, I mean, a long time. And at first it was like overwhelming. But I knew then I'm going to put my grandma and my grandpa on spot. Because at that moment I knew I was praying, but my condemnation in me that I just messed up wouldn't allow me to believe what I'm praying. So I'm like, Father, forgive me. Father, help me. And that thing is still sitting there. And that's what I mean by that condemnation blocking me to receive. Because I was already forgiven. Before I asked for forgiveness, I was forgiven. Because I am the forgiven. I'm not that mess up. I am the righteousness of God. I am in the position of Christ at the right hand of the Father. But that feeling, that piece of glass in my foot, wasn't allowing me to receive that knowledge that I know is true. And it was trying to take a moment and make that who I was. So I said, Grandma, Grandpa, I go in there and they pray for me. And they remind me of who I am in Christ. And I went to bed the night. I finally could get some rest. I woke up the next day rejuvenated. I'm talking refreshed. I thought when I woke up, it was going to carry on from the next day. But right when I woke up, without thinking, my mouth said, His mercies are new every morning. And I knew then it was a reassurance that it's not my performance that is keeping me right. It's not my lack of mess ups or my add up of good things that is keeping me in this place of favor. It was just a reassurance that God's grace is what keeps me there. God's grace is what brings me to this pedestal. So when I woke up, I was just like, man, I feel so pumped. And, you know, the enemy wanted me to feel so down, but I just could not feel that way because I knew I'm justified by faith. Holy smokes, I am the child of God. And not only that, I am abundantly blessed with this favor and this gift of righteousness. So it just made me sink in even more about that. So last week I spoke about that. I want to touch on something as we roll into this next part of how to reign in life. This first part, I talked about how condemnation and guilt tries to weigh you down, how to trade that out with grace and your righteousness. Now I'm going to speak about how we view God in our lives and how that reflects on how we see ourselves and how that reflects on how we see other people. So before I move on to that, I want to say last time when I spoke about that glass shard in the heel of my daughter, how that compared to sin and how we hang on to that and it will never heal. We know the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life. When sin stays in your body, it automatically starts to produce consequences of sin, which is death. So then your body will, by default, begin to start to reap the benefits of death. So then you'll feel confused. You'll feel lazy. You'll feel sick. A sickness comes your way. Oh, I'm going to get sick. Then your spirit begins to feed off of that as well in your body. And then your spirit starts to feel, oh, well, I'm not on fire. Because you're reaping the consequences of what you keep in you. And then your mind begins to, well, you just become into this defeated death mindset. So if we remove that sin, then we can put in the place life. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to touch on that. If you leave sin around and you're in that area, you're going to reap the consequences in your life. So remove it. It's not I have to repent until my mind, until I feel better. It's know you're forgiven. Know your stance in God, that it's not from your doing. And move on. Replace that with life. Okay, now I'm going to speak about how we see God and how that's going to affect our life. Because now we know our conscience is clean. Now we know condemnation is not ours. Now we know that guilt can't weigh us down. But then you say, okay, how can I accept this? Okay, so when we look at God, In Ephesians, it says that we're set at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, right? And then it says Jesus is in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There is an exchange of who you are with who he is at the right hand of the Father. And I've been praying this week and I've been thinking, Father, how can I see that? And then it's like, but he's like, how do you see me? Because if you see me as someone who's willing to give, if you see me as an all abundant supply of goodness in your life, then you'll be able to see and reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. So I was having a conversation with my grandfather the other day about speaking in tongues. And some people don't speak in tongues, and some people do speak in tongues. I have a separate belief on that. I believe that I can speak in tongues just by starting, and then the Holy Spirit takes over. Some people believe it has to manifest and has to get a hold of you. But here's the thing. In my belief of me being able to start, God's able to move. If I believe that I can speak in tongues and he'll take over, God's able to move that. But if I believe he can't, God's not able to move in that area. You see what I'm trying to say? Not saying he can't get a hold of you and allow you to speak in tongues, but he's able to move better in the places that we believe. Just like in imagination. If I can imagine something in my mind and I believe that it's from God, God's able to move in that area. But let's say I have imaginations of like speaking to audiences, of teaching people these things, of seeing big crowds and a lot of people saved. Or my imagination is like, when you go into Walmart today, somebody's going to grow a limb back. And I'm like, no, like that's not from God. That's crazy. God's not able to move with that. But see, the enemy grabs a hold of your imagination and does the same thing. How many times a day do you imagine vulgar things? Like, oh, a wreck happens here. Well, what if this happens here? Or a mind of lust that tries to tell you, oh, what if this person looks like naked? These things that the devil uses, God put in you for him to use. So if my imagination will line up with him and I allow him to work, he's able to start doing things. Same thing in how we see him. If I believe that he is a God that is for me all the time, I'm able to receive all the time. But if I begin to pray and say, God, Father, I ask that you give me this. And the first thought that comes in your mind is, why are you asking him all the time and not just doing things for him? I am never going to be able to receive, because now I'm seeing him as a God that needs things from me so that I can receive from him. So it's coming down now to how we see God. A lot of people see God as fear. Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord. We need to restore the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to kind of touch on this because it just kind of makes me so upset. Because we read one time that I was here, I think it's 1 John, that says, perfect love cast out all fear. Mm-hmm. And if you have a fear, it's a fear of punishment. And that means you don't know the full love of God. The love of God surpasses punishment. The love of God surpasses sin. Because if it didn't surpass sin, Christ would have made the people he healed repent and change their life before he came and healed them. His grace is much more sufficient than our sin. Once we get this into our mindset, we can see God for who he truly is. And people who are in this fear mentality, good luck to you, because you're not going to have longevity in your life. You're not going to have endurance in your walk with Christ. And it's going to be a lot of struggling. Because say you're in fear. That's your motive to do things, right? Say I don't want to sin because I know it's wrong. Now my mindset is sin and then I get punishment. Your body is always going to react to that and you're going to sin. Just look at Paul in Romans 7. He says, in my mind, I love the law and I want to do what's right. But in me, there's a separate law who always does what's wrong. So what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. Who's going to save a wretch like me? He said, that's why I thank God for Jesus Christ. Therefore, there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What he's saying is, you are separate from your sin. Your sin is here, constantly active. And you're here, constantly wanting to do the will of God, right? And if I see God as a person who's going to punish me for that sin, I will move in motivation of fear. Mm-hmm. Imagine if your dad had you in fear your whole life. You mess up, I'm going to whoop the tar out of you. You're going to get your punishment. It's going to be coming to you. You are going to love that. You're going to respect him. But as you get older, the first chance you have, you're going to flee from him. Because that basis is not off of love, but it's off of fear. And God says right here, if you still have fear, it's for fear of your punishment. And if you have that fear, you don't know the love of God. So when we have a mindset of fear, our power to not sin comes back on our own self. Mm-hmm. Our power to do right comes back on our own self, not of the supply of God's righteousness. Then what happens is when you have fear of sin, you go to somebody else who's struggling, and out of a good motivation, you want to help them, but you portray that fear onto them. You better turn and repent now, or you're going to burn in hell. This is where this religious spirit's come from, because they're not seeing the proper way God does things. You're starting to portray onto other people, you better repent, or I'm looking at your sin, that's not right at all. You better change your life. Why are you trying to motivate somebody with fear? I know Galatians talks about that. We're not brought again into a spirit of fear or spirit of bondage. We're brought into sonship. You know what I mean? Because the law came fear. Why do we have fear? Because we know all the pressure's on us to do right. And then if we don't do right, we're going to get our punishment. Now, not no more. Christ took our punishment. And now we get the blessing. And so once we have this mentality of God, of who God really is, we're able to now be motivated in life to live out. Love becomes your motivation. Grace becomes your motivation in life. So if you're going about your day and you're like, Father, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Oh, it's kind of like, don't press that red button. Mm-hmm. What's your first thought? I'm gonna press that red button. What does this red button do, right? That becomes, or don't look that way. You're like, what? It becomes an instant reaction of that's what I'm going to do. But if we turn our focus to I am Jesus, Jesus is me. Now the pressure's off of me and he can live through me. That becomes a, oh, wow. Or your focus turns to mainly his grace, his favor, his love, his blessings, his goodness is all mine without earning this. Then it becomes pressure off of you to not sin, then it just becomes living. You starting to transfer. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I was crucified on the cross with Christ. So the sin desire you had before died, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a dead being. But now it's Christ who lives in me. And now my focus is not on not sinning anymore or keeping the law anymore. It's on living in this abundant blessing. So your focus now shifts. And now when you go to someone, you're not imputing sin to that person. You're not pushing that sin on that person to try to bring them in. You're now just sharing this gift with them. Like, dude, Jesus set me free. I was so fearful. I was so sinful. I was so caught in adultery. I was so caught in lust. I was so caught in anger and depression. But he literally set me free. How? Nothing. He just was so good to me, and that completely changed my life. And then that person's like, yo, I want to be changed too. I got a lot of stuff in my life. And now their motivation isn't fear of going to hell or being punished. Now their motivation is love. Holy smokes, he's completely for me. And people say, whoa. You can't do that because we don't deserve that. Christ got what he didn't deserve.
Right.
So we could get what we don't deserve. Why do you think the Bible emphasizes so much that we're in Christ, Christ is in us? He said, the Holy Spirit's in you, and you are in me, and I am in the Father. In all areas, we're covered by them. Once we get that mentality, we can start to completely receive in life, and then that reciprocates to the other people. And when we look at, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 5, it says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to him, not imputing their sins to them. And now we are in the work of reconciliation. So how can we go out to other people reconcile them to God without imputing their sins if we ourselves feels like our sins are still imputed to us. We have to come to a mindset of who God really is. Mm-hmm. God is completely erased your sins from you, completely taken that off of you, and now have brought in a new identity. And we can go through some scripture to look at that.
I used to have a twisted idea, a twisted image mm-hmm. of who God was. Growing up, they preached hell so hot I could feel it and smell mm-hmm. it. Okay? And as a child, that gave me a twisted idea of the character of God, mm-hmm. who he is. I imagined him being this old, white-haired, white-bearded guy sitting on this massive throne with these massive lightning bolts in his hand.
Yeah.
Just waiting.
Sounds like Thor.
Just waiting. Waiting on Monica to mess up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And when I come back to Christ, when I come back after turning mm-hmm. and doing everything I could, you know, mm-hmm. when I come back, the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to read the New Testament first mm-hmm. and to get to know the one he sent to save me.
Yep.
And then he told me after that, I want you to go read the Old Testament and get to know my true character. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And in doing that, it allowed me to understand that he's not this big angry God that's sitting up there waiting on people to mess up so he can hit them with the lightning bolt.
Come on.
He's a loving, faithful, enduring father who patiently waits there, encouraging his children to come home. And there with open arms to receive them
yep.
and to bestow upon them all he has mm-hmm. without holding back.
Without holding back.
And that really changed my perspective of God. Mm-hmm. Now I just see now being reunited with God. For 5 or 6 years now.
Right.
Now I know that I know because I got my eyes on his word for myself.
Right.
And read what he told me to read and did it the way he told me to. Mm-hmm. And he was able with me being obedient to him and going to his word. Mm-hmm. He was able to help me better understand who he truly is mm-hmm. and to get rid of and helped get rid of that trembling fear of,
yeah.
Oh Lord, oh God, I messed up so bad right now. Please don't send me to hell. Oh Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Please, Lord. Now I'm in a place where I love the word. Mm-hmm. I no longer fear going to hell.
Come on.
I fear, however, being separated from my father forever.
Right.
There was a switch in me that happened that I'm so grateful for. Mm-hmm. Because living in fear, you know, the trembling, scared.
That ain't good.
Oh, I'm going to burn in hell forever.
It'll never work.
You know, and then going to the, oh, Lord, I love you so much, and I know you love me so much. Yep. I don't want to be separated from you. Mm-hmm. I want to be in your home forever. And I thank you for your son. Mm-hmm. I thank you that I get to be with you forever mm-hmm. and not separated.
Right. That's exactly what we need to tell to the whole entire world.
And I've been able to share that with some people, mm-hmm. you know, that had the same twisted idea
right.
of who God was. And to be able to speak to them and say, look, man, I know what you mean. I was there.
Right.
I used to be so scared, you know, I just knew that he was angry at me and I messed up and I'm going to hell, so let's make it worth it.
Yeah, and that's what you'll get to.
You know, and
I mean, that's what we all got to, Bodhi, I'm telling you.
And then to explain to them, no, man, it's not like that. That's not how God really is. He's the loving Father that even though we mess up, he sits there with his hand out, mm-hmm. not a fist.
And that's exactly what we all get to. And that's when we go back to the scripture, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is my base scripture that I go off of. Back in the law, you had to do good and then God would get you right. But now it's God's going to bless you abundantly and then that leads to your change.
And, you know, I was a very when I had that twistedness, I was a very angry person.
All the time.
I mean, to the point I would rage out and black out.
Yeah.
I would get so angry that I wouldn't remember pulling a gun on somebody.
Yeah.
I would be so angry, I don't remember knocking holes in the sheetrock.
Mm-hmm.
So angry, I don't remember putting my hands on somebody.
Come on. Now we're getting into what the Holy Spirit wants to talk about right here. There was a block here, and now we're coming into a room. So.
And to be able to share that with somebody. And to watch that curtain, that veil, rip, so they can see the true character of God.
And you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, are we about to have to do a break?
We've got a few minutes. We started a little bit late.
Yeah, so. We've got about a minute.
Okay, well, you see brothers and sisters in Christ, and you see them, and they, you know that they're with the Lord, but they have such a bad image of him because it reflects in their life. They're always angry or they're always fighting a super sin off of them. But they're always fighting this and that. It's because they're not seeing God as this all forgiving, all abundant God. I'm here to tell you in plain words, God is going to ride it out with you. In your lowest, he's riding it out. In your highest, he's riding it out. If you mess up 1,000 times, he's right there riding it out with you. He's not going to abandon you. And she said that thought process of God being angry at you in Isaiah 54:9, it tells us, "For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn, for this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you." His promise now is to never be angry with you. Now his loving kindness is the thing that washes you. You don't have to be punished now for you to change. It's now, I'm not angry. I love you so much. That's going to start changing your heart. And then you see people who struggle so much in their personal life. I mean, it is such a passionate thing for me. You see brothers and sisters who struggle so much and then come out to put up a front and a face. It's because your performance. You are creating a circus for you and the enemy. Because you're not realizing, period, point blank, God is way better than your sin. Stop trying to work out of it. Just accept the gift. Accept his loving kindness, and then you'll be at peace. There's no more rat race anymore. Like you said, you mess up, I'm going to go to hell. It literally is like that. And that's what I was stuck in before God brought me into his grace. I messed up one time, and I was working for a year to try to earn that back. And I never could do it. And when I came back, God said, "Son, I have never changed the way I looked at you." What? My stance with God has never changed. I am righteous in his eyes. I am holy in his eyes. I am chosen in his eyes by love. He's never going to change. And once we put that performance on ourselves, we really start running a rat race. Mm-hmm. And then you're going in circles. God, how come I can't live out this calling you're giving me? Oh, God, I want this sermon to be perfect. Oh, God, I want to bring people into Christ. You don't got the right mindset. He can't use you. He can't do it. Because you're so scared of him. You won't even draw near.
When fear is your motivation, it's a hindrance.
It's a hindrance.
But when love becomes your motive and your motivation, it's unlimited.
It's unlimited. Look at Abraham when they're going into Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, "God, if there's 50 righteous, 45, 40, 35. And then he said, "If there's 5 righteous, you know how many people?" And he said, "If there's 5, I'll do it." You know how many people came out righteous from Sodom and Gomorrah? 1. Lot. You can say, "Oh, well, his 2 daughters." Remember what his 2 daughters did to him after they left? It was Lot. God was so merciful. And Abraham knew it. And he even says in the beginning of that, God, not you. I know you wouldn't do this. God forbid it from you, Father, for doing this. Because he knew the kindness of God. Mm-hmm. So he was able to stand up and speak boldly to him. Father, don't do this. If there's five people, he said, if there's five people, I'll do it. And he ended up saving three people, and one of them was righteous. The opinion we have of God will reflect on our lives. What we receive, what we give out, how we feel constantly in our lives. So when you're feeling condemned, now instead of, oh, I gotta work out this thing, I gotta really get rid of these feelings, you can be like, you know what? I don't care what I feel like. I know who I am because I know who's with me, and I know what he says about me. This is true Christianity. This is what Christ came to give, is a gift. I don't care what I feel like. Back then it was, oh, I messed up. God, now you're sitting in bed. Man, what can I do? Father, help me. And it'll drag on for days. That's condemnation. That's from the enemy. It's Christ Jesus now. And we're going to talk about some real. So I hope whoever's watching will not lose interest because the wall has now been broken. So hallelujah.